Welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio and Steel Waves Radio. We're on two radio stations, as well as YouTube, every podcast catcher, Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, everywhere that you listen to podcasts. And this is going to be a great show.
Mm-hmm.
That is my co-host. You know her, you love her. She's back. She's back.
Hi. What's up? Back.
That's a photo of your co-host.
It's a photo, yeah. I'm hiding.
You're hiding behind a photo.
I'm hiding behind a photo today, yes.
She's too scared to go on live.
Because of me.
Probably. No, I don't know.
Just don't feel like being looked at today. It's one of those days.
Is it laundry day? Did you get your period today, hon?
Yeah, and I broke out from my mask because I was sweating in it when I went to the store the other day.
Oh, girl, say
yeah, no.
And you still look more beautiful than anybody else on this show, I would imagine. And that's saying something because except for me, we've got two very attractive people here.
We do.
The Prince of Darkness is here. It's been a while since we've had him on, about a year and a half. He's been up to a lot of stuff, and there's a lot of stuff coming up. Very, very happy to have him because I've got quite a lot of questions for him.
My friends call me the Prince of Darkness.
Stance on my way. Sorry, Santa, what did you say? Darkness?
My friends call me the Prince of Darkness.
No, you're the Prince of Darkness. You know that.
Why is it the Prince of Darkness?
Prince of Darkness. You call yourself a dork. I had a beautiful occult fetish model email me that I hadn't talked to in about 4 years. And I said, do you have any questions for Stanton LaVey? She's like, oh, just tell him this beautiful model thinks he's hot. there you go for the Prince of Darkness. Go ahead and inhale. Somebody who's doing that along with you is, you know, the last time you were on was our Christmas show, and you told us all about a holiday show. Talked about Father Frost, talked about all the holiday stuff that you like to do with your children. And afterwards, you invited me to a ritual, which unfortunately had a show that night, and I couldn't go. I mentioned this to my friend, very funny comedian who's inhaling right now, Mia Mars, and she was so jealous.
Oh.
And said, you have to come on the show with Stanton and talk with him. And we've been wanting to have her back on for so long. How are you, Mia?
I'm excited. I'm great. This is going to be probably the highlight of my week.
Of course, you burned your hand earlier in the week, so I guess it's a little bar.
Oh, yeah. I'm a dumb idiot. Hand sanitizer is flammable, people. Just remember that, okay?
Ow.
Is that what you think, really?
Funny.
It could have been my fucking face, because I smoke cigarettes, yo.
Yeah. Well, be careful. Try not to burn anything during the show.
Especially not your pretty face.
I know. Yep. I need it.
Yes.
Yes.
So what's up?
Before we get started, let me say real quick, because we got so many sponsors now, that if you're watching this on YouTube, you're listening to this on any of the podcast catchers, go in the description, because you will have a free trial to Audible. There's discounts for Hustler Hollywood. There's discounts for Spy Associates, so you can get vibrators, you can buy spy equipment. There's also information about Doomy's Home Cooking. I just recently finding out that Stanton is vegan, I think.
Yeah.
Yay!
So, you ever heard of Doomy's Home Cooking?
Say what?
Doomy's Home Cooking in Hollywood?
Do I?
Have you ever been to Doomy's Home Cooking in Hollywood?
Doomy's? No, I haven't been to Doomy's. I feel like a dummy now. Why? What's Doomy's?
Doomy's is amazing. The best vegan food you ever had. Delicious.
Really?
Come and pick you up.
1253 Vine Street. There's a restaurant in Culver City and one in Canada, in Toronto, Canada. Pulled pork sandwiches, chicken parmesan.
How long has it been there?
It's been there for 4 or 5 years.
Oh, that's
genius. That's
a Mexican restaurant with the biggest flautas I ever had.
This is one of those like mandala effect moments where I'm living in a parallel universe or something, because I thought that I'd absolutely every vegan thing conceivable in all of the greater Los Angeles and beyond, but hey,
I'm telling you, Doomy's Home Cooking. I was going to ask you about the Mandela effect, but I also wanted to talk about our new sponsor, and there will be a coupon code for 50% off an order for Raise Energy Drinks. Hannah will tell you, if there's something I know, it's energy drinks.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, if there's something I know, it's about raising things.
Yes, so this goes both ways, but this is not the cheap garbage you're going to get in 7-Eleven. This is stuff you can find in gyms, you find in GNC. There's zero calories, zero carbs, and zero crash. This is the Baja Lime flavor.
Yeah.
I'm going to try this now.
How's it?
Damn good.
It's delicious.
So that's it. So now I've sold my soul to the corporate devil. This is the first question I wanted to ask, because I thought about having you about a month ago. We're on top of all the quarantine, the diseases flying around, the racial unrest, the riots. It was so apocalyptic. That's what I was going to ask.
Pretty awesome.
I would ask the most evil man I know, is there a plan behind this? Is there something you know that I don't?
Oh, yeah, man. This is just phase two. We haven't even entered phase three yet. No, I'm just kidding. No, there's no plan. I don't know. This shit's fucking crazy, dude. You know?
You're quarantined.
Yeah, but it doesn't make a difference for me because I don't go out anyway, you know? Like, everybody comes to me.
Okay.
I can tell. When was the last time you had some vitamin D?
Vitamin D, like that dick? No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm good. I go outside all the time. I've got a beautiful yard. I go out and go run errands. Like, I go to Staples to pick up some posters sometimes and different stuff like that.
Oh, but, God, yeah, I have to run errands or else I lose my mind.
Totally, yeah, just normal shit. And I go on mini vacations with my wife, little 3-day vacations where we go some town here or there in California we've never been to for no real particular reason, and just sort of poke around and and then come home. Just
find antique shops.
Yeah, stuff at least window shop, whatever's open, we pop into, and been wearing our masks and doing our due diligence and all that type of stuff. And but as far as the racial stuff, I don't really know if I fully not to come off as a conspiracy freak, not that I'm not one, but I don't know that I really fully believe that that it is the way it's being presented to seem. The social unrest regarding racism per se as an issue. In other words, it's not that I don't think that there are problems that need to be fixed, and it's not that I don't think that fucking pigs need to get their justice. And they've been killing people, murdering people forever, and I'm a victim of police brutality. I have tons of friends. I know people who've been killed by cops. There's definitely some major reform that needs to take place, and I'm totally on the side of minorities and people who've been marginalized in society, being, targeted, profiled, and hurt, being treated, violently.
But Black Lives Matter and Satanist Lives Matter.
Black, either way, it's black. It's just two different shades of black,
I have so many questions for you. Can you just answer some for me?
I can try to. Yeah, sure. Let's go.
All right. Do you consider yourself part of the satanic legacy?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's kind of inescapable. So, yeah.
You were literally born into it.
Yeah, I was born into it. Whereas some people are members of different various satanic sects, organizations, groups, and stuff like that, I'm not presently an active member like most people today would be of the Church of Satan that exists today. Whereas I, spent my formative years in the Black House that was the Church of Satan. So the original.
What's the difference between the Church of Satan, Satanism, Satanic, and I know there is Satanism where it's farcical. It's jokey, which I love. I like Satanism.
It can be it can be genuine and authentic and still be jokey and farcical. You know,
sorry, like, why don't you?
I think it's you more, but
some people, you know, some people, erroneously, in my opinion, equate the two.
You consider it a religion, or do you consider it more of a lifestyle?
It's a religion. It is. It's not a mainstream religion. It's kind of a para-religion. It runs alongside other religions without being, you know, I don't know. It's kind of just sort of goes under the radar. But it's growing too, and it's becoming more mainstream. It's becoming kind of like pretty rapidly more mainstream, I guess you would say.
So well, I was gonna say, I've been watching a lot of stuff about your grandfather, Anton LaVey, who founded the Church of Satan, wrote the Satanic Bible.
He created modern day Satanism.
He created modern day Satanism, and I mean, his glory days were in the radical 60s, 66, 67, 68, 69.
Yeah,
when he really was influential. He was on the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
Yeah, he performed a black mass on Carson's Tonight Show on the, I think it was the like 100th episode show or something like that.
And that's how influential he was in those days. Now those days, I don't think we've seen turmoil like we have now since those days.
We haven't seen what?
Turmoil and racial tension and political unrest and political. Just differences.
No, we're living in a time, curiously, very, similar in some, you know, in more ways than, you know, in a long time now, right now, as during the, you know, the time of civil rights movement and stuff like that. So, like, with, like, the parallels between, like, the Watts riots and now and stuff, like, and just, like, you know, there's a lot of just stuff that seems like a similar kind of angst going on, like social unrest and stuff. But as far as Satanism, where are we going with this? Like,
explain how you define Satanism.
Let's go with that. What are the main pillars of Satanism? What are the commandments? What are the big rules?
All right, so I was thinking about this tonight because I don't really like just going on saying the same, rehashing the same thing over and over again. So I was thinking, okay, I want to say something a little different tonight about Satanism. And so I'm going to come at it from this way. Early on, while codifying Satanism, I guess you would say, my grandmother and my grandfather, who are kind of who originated Satanism the way it's acknowledged today and the way it's practiced in America and worldwide, created a saying, a catchphrase kind of that was known amongst the inner circle as sex, sentiment, and wonder. And that these three things were vital and necessary to be present in something in order for it to be satanic. And so I guess the way to separate those out and make them make sense is that I'm going to make it as three points. So one point is Satanism is about indulgence. It's about living a life of carnality and living a life that is based in hedonism and sort of like, I guess it would be kind of like what a lot of people would remember the Summer of Love of the 60s to be kind of like, but a little less grungy and hippie-ish and a little bit more like BDSM and kink-based. And in fact, a lot of like what people today regard as like the BDSM type nightlife scene and fetish stuff that's based in like, you know, sex fetishes and things like that grew in terms of mainstream popularity from out of Satanism in the 1960s. So my grandfather was a major proponent and popularizer of things like body modification and modern primitivism and a lot of different types of subcultures that are now bordering on and actually have entered the mainstream, like where you know, TV shows like Sons of Anarchy, and but that's just one to name of so many. There's all kinds of examples of, you know, like Anton was featured in American Horror Story. I think I mentioned that in my last visit on, I don't know if that happened.
I saw that. Did you like that portrayal?
Any portrayal of Anton in mainstream Hollywood that is done, you know, with at least like some effort involved, I think is cool. It doesn't really matter if it's like.
They could have cast you, Abby. What were they thinking?
Like the Church of Satan seemed a little bit uptight about it. They were like, oh, Anton LaVey would never agree to this. And, you know, his blah, blah, blah about the, you know, he would never condone human sacrifice. But it's camp and it's horror. It's called American Horror Story. We all know that it's not meant to be taken literally. So, yeah.
So Anton was not for human sacrifice.
No, absolutely not. Okay, so the sex and sentiment and wonder. Okay, so sex, we got that covered.
Before I move on from sex, okay. You know me, I'm all about it.
Yeah.
When you say indulge.
Anton was a sex symbol too, and he was actually Satanism and the Church of Satan and Anton as the symbol for the movement was used as a means to sell magazines and as a symbol for the counterculture.
He was kind of something that he's passed on to you because you're a sex symbol too.
Well, thank you, Mark. Yeah, I mean, I guess too.
You are devilishly handsome.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of my job.
I just wanted to clarify. You say be hedonistic, but does that extend to incest, molestation, rape?
No, absolutely not. Forcing your will on anyone who isn't asking for it, hasn't consented to it, or doesn't deserve it by some means that is according to natural law. In other words, the law of the jungle are strictly forbidden in Satanism. Well,
because those are hedonistic too.
Well, they're hedonistic, but that doesn't make them right.
Right. And,
not all hedonistic actions or activities are condoned or considered
right. They didn't deserve it. They didn't consent.
Satanism is not a religion it's not a religion of anarchism, and there is a wrong and a right.
Right. No, I wanted to clarify that because I know that Satanism tolerated homosexuals and
homosexuals
and everything else.
Yeah,
way before mainstream.
It doesn't tolerate. It encourages. In fact, I mean, and when I say it encourages, it doesn't encourage specifically homosexuality. What it encourages is it encourages individuality, and it encourages freedom of individual expression of whatever your get down is. It doesn't matter whether, like, I mean, if your thing is, you know, your sexuality or your sexual preference, identity, however, you know, you define yourself sexually, and that's like really your like primary personality identifier, then that's going to be, as Satanist, what, you know, stands out front and center. So, but that doesn't mean that that's like some sort of like that it's like mandatory or something like that. Like, I mean, there are plenty of Satanists who are very, kind of meek and unassuming and not very sexually aggressive types. And there's every type of Satanist, you know. I think that's one of the great beauties of Satanism is that you're guaranteed to come across and cross paths with literally every conceivable personality type other than closed-minded ones, which are really, it's like if there were ever one type of personality I want to like automatically avoid, it would be closed-minded personalities. And so to have that as a filter in life is a pretty great thing, I think.
Okay, so we got the sex.
Yeah, we got the sex. The sentiment would be okay. So, now in life, right? Okay, so when you're at home alone, Mark, you know, like you're gonna listen to music and you're going to adorn the walls of your apartment with art, maybe, and you're gonna like have clothing that you either like don't get rid of because of sentimental value and attachment that you have to it, and because it reminds you of a particular time in your life or a way of life, living and lifestyle that like when you listen to that music, when you put on that shirt, when you look at your environment and you remember back to a time when you were like at your most like comedic and gothic, okay, and
it knows me so well,
and you have these things around you as reminders and as sort of like as scenery in your life, you can use them magically in a way. And I don't know if this, you know, maybe some of your watchers, listeners, however, will be able to vibe on this, but like if you listen to certain music or watch a certain movie or however, or maybe like get together with a certain group of friends that you had a great, you know, really incredible, memorable experience with or something, there's this sensation that you actually feel internally that goes beyond, it transcends just the standard five senses. And it's actually this otherworldly, and it's also a connective otherworldly sort of
energy.
It's an energy, exactly, that is being transmitted between the individual and other things. Well, we can get into that maybe later or in a moment. But basically, sentiment, when applied magically in this way in life, and when you use things that are so meaningful to you that they generate this type of energy, and then when you take that energy and you focus it on something, whatever it may be, and with certain techniques applied, the results, in other words, the magical results in terms of what a person can accomplish or attain out of or from using this type of energy ritualistically is pretty remarkable.
Well, speaking of that, and I want to get Anna in here because after a couple of years ago when you were on the show for the first time, you had a showing of the movie Satanas.
Yeah.
And I know Hannah went. Yeah. And I know after she was there, she's like, oh my God, it was a life-changing experience.
That's the type of sentiment that I'm talking about. That's exactly mm-hmm.
right. Yeah. Hannah, describe this. Why was this a life-changing experience?
It was just like something I've never experienced before. It was so artistically done, enlightening. Just, you can't really describe it when you're there.
I mean, I know you had,
a couple of friends with me
at the time, but besides that.
I had a couple of friends with me that were there as well, and they were just in awe. So.
Cool. So you felt the energy, you felt the satanic.
Yeah. It was very friendly and inviting and comfortable, safe.
But it created a sentimental experience that now you have, that you associate with and will forever probably, where when
always.
You see Satanas, you know, if you see Satanas with friends or if, you know, if should the mm-hmm. occasion, you know, arise to watch it or even just talking about it, even like right now, it will bring about that, like you will catch a feeling of that same energy of sentiment. And so.
Well, I also still have the dress from what you're saying, like you hold on to clothing. I still have the dress I wore to the premiere and I keep it because of that.
That's pretty cool. Yes. Yes. And so like you could absolutely, and you could very effectively use that dress ritualistically or ceremonially, with, you know, tying that sentiment into the magic, for satanic magic. And so, the third wonder is what is being used theatrically to attract and to dazzle or open the minds or titillate. However, sex, sentiment, and wonder. I'm using these to describe Satanism. All right, now, so sex, sentiment, and wonder in terms of this combination or this this recipe equation for Satanism is creating a situation and a scene and an environment and a play out of life, and you and turning people in your life and around you, other Satanists, into players in something that is intended to more or less entertain an audience of demons, if you will. I know that that might sound crazy, but we live on a stage. This world is a stage, and humans are players on a stage that are entertaining. We are here really to interact and entertain in this way a cast of forces and energies that that we're able to call on and work with and gain as fans in some ways, or depending on how popular you might become. This is the difference between atheistic Satanism and theological Satanism.
There seems to be two types. There seems to be the cool art school kid that is like atheistic, and then there seems to be the like teenage kid that actually believes in the devil.
Well, there's people who the use of magic, at least in employing magic, to affect a change and to get something more out of life and a religious experience with Satan or with Satanism. And then there's kind of dress up types that are, I think, are a little bit nervous or apprehensive to approach it as witchcraft. And so I think that that's where a lot of confusion comes into.
But which would you classify yourself as?
Sorry, what?
Which would you classify yourself as?
Well, I'm not. I'm certainly not an atheist.
So you do believe in God. You believe in heaven and hell.
I don't believe in God I don't believe in God in the.
You believe in energy? It seems like you believe in energy,
That's kind of putting it vaguely too, though, and that doesn't really nail it down either. It's not like that sounds hokey, and to say it's just energy is kind of being hokey. I actually, I know without a doubt that there are beings that exist that are not necessarily perceivable to us and other animals, at least using our primary senses, but that doesn't at all mean that they're not there. And I think that it's just, for me, it's kind of like really strange, the idea or the thought. You have to understand, where I'm coming from is from a place where it doesn't make sense at all to look at things as though, monotheistically, and as though Jesus is something or someone who actually existed, and all of this type of stuff.
I hate Jesus so much.
Desirable things about Jesus.
He was just the Charlie Manson of. Look, more people have died in the name of Jesus than in the name of Charlie Manson.
That's
funny you should mention Charlie Manson, because Charlie Manson, in his autobiography, wrote about Stanton LaVey. Now, how did he know you? I mean, how did that correspondence start? Because I also read, I've been reading your articles in Ozzy, the website, which is very interesting. You talk about Susan Atkins visiting the Black House. But yeah. you were born 10, 12 years later. How does
I was born 9 years later, yeah.
Yeah. How does Charles Manson in a prison cell find out about you and be so taken with you?
He's Manson. What do you expect? Crazy.
Well, I think that we had some weird similar stuff going on in terms of like how he was experiencing Hollywood back in the late 60s to how I was experiencing Hollywood in the like in the late 2000 whatever or in whatever around 2008 and 2009, so right around the same time 50 years later would have been 50 or 40 wait is that 40, 40 or 50 years
40
40 okay so yeah. Right around 40 years later I was living out a Hollywood lifestyle that was very much like Charlie Manson's in the late 60s, and we also had a lot of like connections. We knew a lot of the same people while he was in prison, and I knew people. I mean, we worked with different people in the literary world and in just in the counterculture scene as artists and different people. We ran with a lot of the same people. If Charlie was not in jail, like if he wasn't living his life in prison, we would have absolutely been friends. We maintained kind of like a weird, vague friendship through the media. We didn't write each other letters. We talked to each other through people and through stories and through articles, which is kind of strange. He wanted my story. I guess he thought that I probably had some insight from the fact that when I was a kid, research was being done for Charles Manson's Superstar, the documentary that my stepdad, Nicholas Schreck, directed. And there was some stuff there that I learned about like Charlie's background with the CIA, and that there's pretty solid evidence to support the not idea but fact that Charlie was a CIA officer.
I was going to segue into your article for Ozzy Magazine when you were talking about growing up in the Black House.
So I mean,
what is the Black House?
Satanism is like a religion of heathens, basically. You know, we believe in like common sense, treating people with basic decency and also taking responsibility for your actions, having fun, living life to the fullest, experimenting and indulging in the black arts, if you will, of magic and occultism, and so there's that. And then on to which article were we talking about?
There was an article where you talked about all the serial killers that went to the Black House. That, see, Mia almost caught me. I knew this was going to come back.
Ooh, okay. Tell me everything you know about the Son of Sam.
I don't have anything on the Son of Sam, but wait, Mark, did that article come out since the last time I was on your show?
Yes, it did.
Okay, cool. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so like...
Susan Atkins, first off.
Yours, right?
I've been reading all the articles. They're terrific.
Okay.
We got to go West Coast on this, because the Black House, which was Anton LaVey's house.
The White House for sameness.
Well, it was Anton LaVey's house in San Francisco. It was painted all black. And oddly enough, before he even wrote the Satanic Bible, it was notorious because Anton LaVey had a lion, a full-grown lion.
Yeah.
So he was like the original Tiger King.
Big cats around as pets.
Yeah.
If you're gonna get a tiger, just have a kid.
He had a lion. He had an African lion, and I mean, well, it was a lion cub at first, but you know, lion cubs become big lions.
Yeah.
So he was the original Tiger King, and he was on a children's show that's now on Amazon Prime.
Yeah,
what's that?
Yes, called Brother Buzz. It was the Brother Buzz children's show. And it was a local Bay Area San Francisco children's show. It was in 1965. They did a kind of a Count Dracula meets the Addams Family-esque, look at my family at the time. My mother Zena was like all of, you know, 1 or 2 years old. And they had a lion cub named Togar, the lion, and years later, and it's depicted in the film Satanus, they ended up having to give the lion up, and the lion ended up retiring here in Southern California at Tippi Hedren Wildlife Reserve.
Oh yeah, I forgot. She rescued and shit.
Yes, yeah. So Togar, my grandfather's lion, sired generation after generation of movie lions for Shambhala here in Southern California. Yeah, as a, on a side note, and then, but yes, there was something I was going to mention though that you just mentioned something before.
So you grew up in San Francisco, and asking about serial killers. Tell me everything. Okay?
It was a dark house. It was a black house.
I'm guessing it was on H Street, right? If I recall correctly.
It was on California Street in the Richmond District in San Francisco. You're thinking of, there's another house that's notorious in San Francisco. Not that there aren't many notorious houses, but one in particular is called the Westerfield House, which was also known as the Old Russian Embassy. And this is where Bobby Beausoleil, Kenneth Anger, Charlie Manson, and
Susan thinking of them.
And my grandfather all met. And and it's where Charlie Manson, it's where Bobby Beausoleil and Susan Atkins ended up becoming members of the Manson family. And then leaving to LA with Charlie and then becoming murderers in the Manson family. Yeah.
But Susan Atkins posed nude in your father's house.
This is correct, yes. On several occasions, in fact. And I mean, I've got like
one on California Street, you said, yeah. Right?
Yeah,
and that's the one, and then the one where everybody met.
Yeah, that's the old, there was the old Russian embassy that was in like where you mentioned, and then on near Haight Street, and then my,
That one's on California, okay, I'm thinking.
Same where thing. I grew up, the black house, the famous black house that was set back from the street where, you know, where there were many never ending, I mean, bajillions of pages of Google photos of my family, you know, in front of and different people at the black house. Marilyn Manson and Tracy Lords went and met my grandfather at his house, at our house. But in particular, the story that Mark's referring to is this story that I wrote that basically highlighting just a few of the more celebrated murderers that passed by or through the doors of the black house. But Susan Atkins, of course, had a connection to the family and, as a publicity model. So she wasn't really a member of the Church of Satan. She was actually just like kind of like runaway hippie chick on the street that happened to be like willing to do basically anything. So she would take these odd jobs, you know, doing whatever, and she was willing to pose nude, which a lot of people weren't, and in the accent and words of the photographer who took the photos and who recruited Susan Atkins among other witches, oof, she's got good pussy. So yeah, he was some like Swedish guy, I guess. And he thought she had a nice looking pussy, and she was willing to get naked, and so she got herself some gigs posing with a ton. But she also performed in a striptease performance art thing that Anton directed called the Topless Witches Review at the Mitchell Brothers Theater. And so he would direct Susan Atkins as the victim of Dracula, and he would like pick her up and bite her and, you know, carry her off. And there was one where some other girl would be like tied up and a werewolf or a wolfman would run out on stage and sort of ravish her and like pick her up and take her and tear, you know, run off stage with her. And so, yeah. And then other killers though, like that people didn't know about were, like, for instance, the Zodiac Killer had ties to my family, or at least to the Church of Satan.
Tell me more. I love Zodiac. I think we're very close to catching it if we're willing to put in some DNA bullshit like we did with the Golden State Killer. I think we could totally figure out who Zodiac is because he licked an envelope, the dumb fuck.
Yeah, yeah. But it would just be a matter of having something to compare it to, is the thing. But
they found it through some family tree bullshit.
Yeah.
For the Golden State Killer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, the Golden State Killer, yeah, but he's more recent, though, isn't he? Like, his last crimes.
Doing his crimes because he realized he was a cop, so he realized, oh, I should fucking stop this shit. But he was the original Night Stalker, I think, in the 1970s, you know, the OG one. Not Richard Ramirez, who I would love.
We're going to talk about in a second. But
yeah, Richard Ramirez came by the Black House. He made a pilgrimage to the Black House. He was obsessed with Anton, and obsessed with the family, and all of it. And he actually presented kind of an interesting dilemma or problem, if you will, of Satanism as to what isn't satanic. In other words. It's like, yes, we're not supposed to, you're not supposed to kill anyone. Satanism is against killing or taking anything against its life. But on the flip side, if a person is determined to do something and willing to face whatever consequences are coming their way, and then they face those consequences and do so, and they're not, you know, big whiners about it. You can't really say that they are not.
There was no permission from the victims of, the Night Stalker. Although he did think that if the doors were open, he couldn't, that was permission.
Yeah. Yeah. He was crazy.
So in his fucked up mind, he was wrong, but I get behind his thinking now. I get why he thought that, you know? It's not right. It's not right. But like, I see the timeline, dude.
Yeah, he was crazy.
I'm unraveling the insanity.
It was pretty scary. I mean, the thing is, as a kid, there were always there was always the chance of somebody really crazy, like Richard Ramirez, would be kidnappers, people randomly shooting at the house, even crazy Christians. Would shoot at our house and plot on.
Was it hard to have friends over?
Was it hard to
have friends over, like sleepovers?
It didn't happen very often.
You didn't have sleepovers at the Black House?
I don't recall ever a time inviting a friend.
Parties, anything like that?
No.
So Stanton, would you say that like veganism and Satanism go hand in hand because you don't want to take a life against its will?
Good question.
Excuse me?
Would you say Satanism and veganism, they go hand in hand because you don't want to take a life against its will?
Absolutely. I mean, that makes it work philosophically, at least for me, on a on a simplified level. But other reasons that I have personally for being vegan that are not health reasons per se. In other words, like, I'm not some kind of like health freak. It's not about that. But I definitely do not believe that any animal should be killed unnecessarily when there are so many options, and when we live in a world of such incredible variety and abundance that there is absolutely no conceivable reason why any animal should ever be hurt or caged or killed. And here's where I differ from other types of vegans, where other types of vegans often are more very pacifistic types that say, oh, well, you know, you can't fault these people. These people, they don't know any better. All we can do is we can try to educate them. And it's like, you know, no, for me personally, I would take more of an aggressive and more extreme approach to this if given license and the opportunity to. I feel that it should be stopped immediately, all production and our quote-unquote production of the wholesale slaughter of animals need to cease immediately and completely and entirely and permanently. And I feel that people should have to either pay such a just inconceivably huge luxury tax on something like eating animal flesh that it should become just financially undesirable.
Agreed.
Just to start with, and then once you get that in place, then you know, with a few other measures taken, it really shouldn't be that difficult to recondition people after a generation or two of you know, rethinking and just providing them with options that make more sense. People need to stop just thinking that whatever it is right because they've been doing it so long. That's the number one most dangerous way to go about making a decision in life of what you should or shouldn't be doing, what's rational or logical, reasonable, sensible, fair, healthy, kind, loving.
Speaking of decisions, the types of things, you two are gonna just obliterate the meat market altogether, and I applaud.
Yeah, that. We are.
But in the name of Satan. But why Stanton?
Based on bullshit that you've been doing.
Did you grow up in a vegan house? Was the black house vegan or?
Absolutely no way! No way! No! No! No!
But, no, I was gonna say, well, really
my grandfather was a meat and potatoes man from Chicago. He when he went out, if it wasn't, you know, some sort of red meat in some sort of wine sauce with potatoes, you know, and that's about it, you know, and alcohol and chocolate, you know, those were the types of things that Anton lived on.
And sex.
Yeah. But there again, Anton was a sex. Okay. Sex symbols aren't always like, you know, just like hard pounded fucking 24/7 as you might imagine being, you know what I mean? Like,
well,
you have to actually finesse it. There's a lot of work involved in being a sex symbol that makes it so that you don't sometimes have as much time to just fuck off as you'd like to have.
You would know better than I would. I was going to say, as far as the decision, now, when Anton passed away in the late 90s, there was a big power struggle for the Church of Satan. And all this time, have you ever tried to assume the mantle?
No. I'm working on this thing right now called the Satanic Order. And it's a continuation of a project that I've been working on for some time now with recently deceased retired Lieutenant Colonel Mike Laquino, and along with other friends and associates, Boyd Rice, and a number of other people that is now coming together and finally coalescing, and we're going to be opening the doors to our first chapter of the Ordo Satanas is what we're calling it. And taking memberships. So.
Okay. How come you didn't, you haven't done this before, or have you tried before?
Yeah. Timing, inspiration, just what feels right when and what makes sense. There's people involved. It's not just me. There's factors.
Are you painting it black?
Sorry?
Are you going to paint it black?
Oh, well, yeah, at least one side of it. Well, we've got the House of Wills in Cleveland, and Eric Freeman's been gracious enough to offer the house, which is a citywide or a city block sized mansion in the middle of Cleveland, Ohio. It's really incredible. It's one of the most haunted buildings in the United States, the House of Wills, if you look it up. We're making it our first chapter, at least, and it's operating headquarters out of there for now. So,
And I always have to ask you silly questions. The last time I asked you if Taylor Swift was a clone of your mother, and I just read that somewhere, and then I found some footage of your mother, and I know you guys are estranged. I don't want to get too deeply into that, but I did see a picture of your mother when she was young, and she does beautiful. She looks a lot like Taylor Swift.
Yeah, I guess I can see the resemblance, man, you know. And they both have that, like, kind of mousy, you know, like, I don't know, I guess.
The hair is similar,
the type of, like, popular chick in high school that, you know, that would have never spoken to me or you, Mark, all right?
Well, I know that. I can tell you that already.
Me and you hanging out, like, you know, jerking off thinking about him. You know, but they would have never talked to us.
No, that wouldn't. No, they see that. Those weren't the ones I jerked off to. I jerked off to the weird goth girls that were into Satan, and they had nothing to do with me either. So,
Zena was a weird goth chick. Well, not goth. No, you liked him really. You liked him in poet shirts and like velvet and shit.
No, velvet and shit.
Because Zena
was, Zena, how much black velvet was on the
my mother wore house? My mother wore like spandex mini skirts when I was a little kid, and all my friends would jerk off thing and tell stories about jerking their masturbation fantasies about my mother.
She was a MILF, I suppose, but she was a MILF. She had you when she was 14. She was a young woman.
She was a young woman. She was a slutty young woman.
Okay.
But she, I mean, her baptism when she was three was a big deal.
It was a big deal, actually. Yeah, and it was one of the three. It was one of the three first and most important rituals that Anton performed publicly that formulated Satanism into the public zeitgeist. So,
right.
I have so many more questions about growing up in the Black House.
Go right ahead.
All right.
Yeah, I didn't grow up in it. I spent my formative years in it. I was there until I was five. So, and then I went, and then I was back there for like a year on and off. And then
I just have other questions about you growing up and.
About a priest.
You're the Antichrist?
Well, not so much the Antichrist thingy. You know, it's like I'm a Jew, so I think anything that isn't the one God is kind of stupid.
Yeah,
don't get me in Nick Cannon kind of trouble on the show, okay?
But no, we believe in energy. We definitely, like, there are some things, like, you know, don't hurt others unless you're provoked. Don't do, I like it. But I'm wondering what it's like to grow up with your being under the eye of, like, the royal family is what I'm really curious about.
Okay, so it for me, and this question, I'll try to answer it this way. Growing up in the 1980s, which is when I was a little kid in the Church of Satan, was very different than it would be if I was a little kid right now. And if all of that was playing out today instead of back then, you know, and how the world is, how people are, how my family would be today versus the way they were, and the type of struggles that we experienced as a business and as a philosophy that was gaining some traction to an extent, but that was also under a lot of fire and a lot of scrutiny from daytime talk shows and pop psychology and evangelical Christians and all this type of stuff. There were all these, like, really, there's a lot of, like, big money assholes, if you will, that were really out to put a damper on things for the cool new satanic people, and it really had a profoundly negative effect on my family directly. And so it's not that, and granted, you know, Satanism as a movement has pulled through, we've made it through, and we are. We're stronger than ever. The movement's moving. I mean, we're like, things are growing, and the attention and how we're received and how accepted it is via the mainstream media and Hollywood, and things like you know, from like, you know, I was making some references earlier, but like Buffy
always have some sacrifice with sameness, and they're always sacrificing a goat in the '80s. And there was mass media panic over this.
Yeah.
And the FBI finally had to like, dude, this shit don't happen.
When you consider that back in the 1980s, right, that there were that like there were only a handful of bands of heavy metal bands that were considered even like kind of like satanic and that were rumored to be involved with or found at the site of like ritual child sacrifices and different animal sacrifices and things like that, compared to the fact that heavy metal and black metal and death metal and satanic metal, every type of like subgenre metal that exists that is all combined heavy metal, right? And how satanic it is overtly. And when you look at it as a genre, just as an umbrella genre, heavy metal, and how much of what exists under that umbrella is basically painted in pentagrams is mind-boggling. So, you know, we're living in a completely different like mindset today than we were 25 and 50 years ago. And so it's, you know, when I was in school as a kid, I was the one and only kid that was wearing all black that wasn't goth and that wasn't some sort of like a East Side cholo or something. And because like that would be the only other instance of a kid wearing all black is if they were like becoming a gang member. And some of my friends in elementary school in Hollywood and in LA, because I spent time half time between LA and San Francisco when growing up. But I finished elementary and went to junior high in Hollywood. And I mean, I was the one and only satanic. I was the one and only witch kid. There was no other kid that was like that. But of course, even today, it's unusual, and there aren't a lot of kids in schools that you point out and go, "Oh, there goes the Satanists." But they do exist now where they didn't before, and it's actually becoming, you know, it's a thing now. I remember
there's lots of Wiccan kids around. I grew up with Wiccan kids.
Well, I mean, I remember in 2005 between 2005 and 2007, I was pretty close friends with Hank Williams III. Hank Williams, the country legend, his grandson. And whenever I would talk to him or see him, he would tell me, "Oh man, there were way more kids in black at this show than there were at the last." And he was talking about kids like satanic kids basically. And that his audiences were morphing from country audiences into Satanists and heavy metal audiences. And so the audience kind of dictated his art, actually, which is kind of weird.
Was that your influence? Because people found out about him through you?
Yeah, well, they found out that he was, they found out by whatever means that he and I were tight and that his, and that some of his music was being influenced by his association to me. With me.
Yeah, I just let somebody know that Matt Skiba from Blink-182 was a Satanist. Yeah. Was a good friend.
I've known Matt forever. Yeah.
But let me ask you a few silly questions now.
I want to ask one too.
No, we're coming back to you, and it's almost we're almost done. But I gotta ask some dumb questions, like some stuff I found on the internet now. Was Juice WRLD's death a satanic sacrifice?
Was whose death?
Juice WRLD. Juice WRLD, the rapper.
Juice WRLD. I don't know Juice WRLD.
Okay. Well, maybe not then. Beyonce and Jay-Z, they've got to be Satanists, right? They're always doing the Illuminati stuff.
Mark, that's one of those things. I guess by now, sure, they must be satanic. In some way. I mean, yeah, they're Satanists. Fuck yeah.
Lady Gaga, Satanist too?
Sorry, what?
Lady Gaga?
Lady Gaga. She is, swear you love Lucifer. Swear you love Lucifer, right? Swear you love Lucifer. I swear to Lucifer. I swear to Lucifer. I swear to Lucifer. Yeah, Lady Gaga's a Satanist. Sure.
Okay. All right. And I was reading today that the bubonic plague is back. That in Ohio they found a squirrel with bubonic plague. Is the apocalypse here? Is it at hand?
Fuck no.
No. Okay.
No.
So this virus is going to blow over.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
This shit happens all the time. This is not that big of a deal.
We're going to have to wear masks for the rest of our lives.
Fuck no. Come on.
Two years,
maybe tops.
Okay.
Yeah, that sucks.
And by that time, your church will be well established.
Full swing, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Seriously, it's got to be your whole life has had to be pressure filled to live up to and your grandfather.
What if your favorite color isn't black? What if it's like purple and you just want to wear purple all the time?
I love purple. Are you kidding? That's one of my favorite colors.
What's your favorite color?
What?
What are your favorite colors? You can't say black.
What are my favorite? Purple would be actually my favorite color. That's the magic color. So, yeah.
It's the color of royalty.
So what's going on, Hannah?
I'm here.
Well, you have questions, Hannah?
Huh?
Say something.
Any
other questions?
Wait! I got something to tell you guys. I'm gonna be playing Satan in a movie coming up.
No, I was gonna get to that. Before we get to that, I always have to talk a little Dolomite.
Say what?
I have to talk a little Dolomite on every show.
Let's talk a little Dolomite.
You and Dolomite, Eddie Murphy did the movie. I thought it was great. But you inferred in an article that Dolomite was bisexual? That Rudy Ray Moore was bisexual?
I didn't say he was bisexual. I said he was a fag.
Yeah!
Dolomite was a fag?
Yeah.
How do you know?
That's
the Disco Godfather. What are you talking about?
Well,
it's
one of those things. It's something you know. It's
Did you have sex with Dolomite?
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, back then when he was alive.
You know Coke is diet when you're drinking it. You know what I mean?
No, I know you did Coke with him, but did you?
No, I didn't mean like that. Okay, but go. Yeah, that too. All right. I did not do Coke with Dolomite. I wish that I could say that I did Coke with Dolomite, but I know I did. I did Coke with Dolomite on the phone doing Coke with me.
You just zoomed cocaine.
We long distance did. We did Coke together. It was
social distancing cocaine.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. It was a long distance telephone line.
What celebrity now is a Satanist that we wouldn't necessarily think?
Who is a Satanist?
What celebrity is a Satanist that we would have no idea about?
Let's see. That I'm at liberty to say. Okay. Do you know who Mark Almond is?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Marcel, yeah.
Mark Almond is a Satanist.
Yeah, the sex dwarf, tainted love.
You knew that, though.
Yeah.
I did know that.
All right. Who's Satanist? Okay. Do you know who Jacques Vallée is?
It sounds familiar. Who is Jacques Vallée? Jacques
Vallée is one of the world's most famous, if not the world's most famous ufologist. He's also one of the inventors of the original internet called ARPANET. His name's Jacques Vallée. And he was an early Church of Satan member, close friend of the LaVey family, Satanist.
Mm.
Yeah, look the guy up. Fascinating.
I definitely will.
Now,
Hannah, Mia, you guys have one last question, and then I got to talk to Stan about all he's doing now, which is he's got some exciting stuff coming up.
I'm good. Can I leave to pee?
Yeah, go pee.
All right. Should I
take it with you? We can't steal anyway.
Just put it on mute.
You said you can pee. Go ahead.
I did that. You just put it on mute. You might like this.
You'll all be really, really quiet while you do it.
Embrace the darkness. No, but you're playing Satan in a movie, which I can't believe that nobody's asked.
Happened already. Yeah.
Not much stretch, right?
Tell us about the movie.
It's called Death Rising, and it is about, I'm not supposed to say too much about what it's about, but it's, but I guess I can say a little. It's about a coven of witches in New Orleans that are dealing with a magical working where they are trying to conjure Satan and do, and I play Satan in this film. So it's pretty crazy. It's like a crazy like CGI and live special effects horror movie supernatural.
Cool. Are you gonna have like a special screening for that?
Kind of getting excited.
I'm gonna have crazy huge Baphomet horns, and I'm gonna have like crazy huge wings. But I'm not gonna give. There's other stuff too. I'm not gonna give it all up. But there's like but there's other features too. But it's gonna be intense, really intense. A lot of makeup.
Was the filming delayed because of the COVID?
No, they've been doing all principal filming over the past couple of months, and and they're I'm like in just some of the last scenes that they're filming in about a week and a half. So
cool. Well, when it comes out, I want to see it.
So yeah.
Or something, Mark and I would love to go.
Yeah, I'll let you guys know when I'm in town, and we'll see if there's anything.
And you were filming a documentary last time you were on.
Ooh.
And that's finished?
Hey, how did it all come out?
Yes, that's still happening.
No, I washed my hands, don't worry.
That was put off because of all of this, because it's just, you know, little stuff gets really just pushed way to the back. But
you're working on that and the 666 documentary.
666 is out and on my streaming site, liberatedx.com. That's liberatedx,
you're doing that.
Liberated. Oh yeah, BaphometX.com. I've got like my own sort of like it's like a social media platform thing in the making, and like people are signing up for it. Crazy.
I was going to ask you if Facebook was the devil, but I guess not.
I don't know. My websites are doing pretty well. Things are just going great.
So everybody needs to get off Facebook and get on your social site.
Get off Facebook. Get on to Baphomet X. Come on over to LiberatedX.com. I'm uploading new movies to my streaming site all the time. We've got the craziest underground and bootleg band concert videos and all crazy uncensored weird art and avant-garde films and great
Sammy Davis Jr. Christopher Lee movie,
and 666 is on it too, with Dolemite, the full stand-up routine and Duncan Trussell and Danzig and Hank 3 and 45 Grave and Alkaline Trio and everyone. Yes,
there's only 100 movies on there, right? Or 100 concerts.
I think we got finally over 100 titles and growing, and I've got like thousands more to go up, and we're starting to take submissions for people, so it's just going to grow and grow, and it's crazy.
And now that we're back in quarantine, there's no excuse not to go check it out.
Yeah, and no excuse for me to not keep bugging my employees to rip movies and get them on my site. So
You watched everything on Netflix. Now it's a real entertainment.
Yeah. No, now it's time to really do damage to your conscience and turn yourself into a truly amoral freak of nature by going to Liberated X and signing up and becoming a member, because the films that you watch on this site will permanently change you for the worse.
Well, change it for the better.
Where does the time go? This has been so much fun. Mia?
All right. Good to see y'all, and Hannah,
Go to Mia fucking Mars on Instagram.
Thank you. Please do.
And you'll be doing comedy hopefully soon enough.
Hey, I know, and hopefully we'll all be able to do this together in person soon.
It's
not the same on Zoom.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan, Stanton. Thank you for coming.
Satan.
BaphomX.com, LiberatedX.com, Hail Hannah Box 666 on Instagram.
That's right.
Hannah Box 666.
Yes, and Goth Camino, social media, everybody. Have a wonderfully satanic week. Bye. Bye.